The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Paddy's obviously just been out to get that last few couple of pints in before the pubs close. He literally saw Boris Johnson say, we're closing the pubs. Oh, right, let's get to the pub. I wonder if anyone's done that, any imbecile. By the way, welcome to the Weekend Podcast. I've got Pete, Steve, Paddy. You're up, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Justin.
Where are you, Pad? You sound like you're speaking through...
1984.
It seems like you're speaking through one of his many toilet roll innards. You know the innards of a toilet roll?
Yeah.
The ones we're all stockpiling.
Oh, really? I'm just at home. Is that better?
Not really, no. But
marginally.
You sound like a foreign...
It was like this last time.
Yeah, it seems like we are calling 1984. Hello, Paddy. Welcome to the future.
You guys sound great to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, we always do. So do you know what, though? I tell you what, this is really odd, isn't it? I think this is the closest we'll ever come. I don't know what it's like around with you, but the streets outside with me is very eerie.
Yes.
No, it's really busy here.
Well, you're living in Croydon, though, isn't it? Is it really still really busy there?
Yeah, no, it is. Like, there's still lots of traffic. There's still lots of people walking around the high streets. You wouldn't know it's any different.
Wow.
I know, but do you know what? I go out to the car. I've been in for a week now because my son Monty's got an issue with his lung.
You're always in, Justin.
I know, I'm always in anyway. I've self-isolated for like 5 years to 10 years anyway. But, even when I got the car now, to pick something from the boot of the car, I feel like it's a zombie apocalypse. And I'm looking around thinking, oh, I'm scared that something's going to happen, you know? But it's a really odd thing. And I think, I don't know how much money they've chucked at this. And part of me, it's like what the Fed did a while back. They threw a lot of money at it. And it spooks the markets. Because you realise, hang on. They know something we don't. How bad is this? And there's no way of knowing how bad it is. I mean, nowhere else. I mean, even in war times, you sort of, certain parts of the industry still work, you know? I mean, they readapt. Well, in fact, they do it now, aren't they, with ventilators? They readapt certain factories to start producing, you know, guns and all that. But now we're starting with ventilators and all that. It's a really worrying situation because everything else is going to stop. And I don't know... Some of these businesses will not last. They'll not survive. They will not, you know, you can't... The small businesses need cash flow, you know, day in, day out. They can't last a week without any cash flow, you know? And so it's really scary, isn't it?
Yeah. But then government are going to be helping now with paying salaries and stuff for the first time ever.
Yeah, I know.
You see, that's been announced Friday evening. But, a lot of... And you realise how many businesses run it so close to the wire, you know? It only takes something like this and they literally go under.
But the pressure is always on paying debts, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you'd wonder, it's all a bit of a game, really, isn't it? Like, that money doesn't really exist or that money isn't actually owed to anyone. So, ultimately, you'd think the government could put some pressure on the banks not to call that money in and, therefore, the pressure disappears, or some of it, at least.
Yeah. And the thing is, right, government debt, it's not really real. You don't, you know, recessions never start with sovereign debt. Very rarely. Very rarely does a government of a big country anyway just fall over because of debt. You know, you get smaller countries that owe the debt to other bigger countries, yes. But you never get your America, Japan, China, or Britain, or France, or Germany falling over debt. It's just, they can just write it off at the end of the day. So I think it's good that you help the smaller man, you know. But for example, Steve, you work filming, right? What's it like for you at the moment?
Well, I have no work. It's all been cancelled.
And so what can you do now? I mean, did you just see the update that Rishi did? And is there anything in that support package for you?
Do you know what? I've not actually seen it. So, no, I've not seen the news today.
So that's worrying, isn't it? Are you worried or what?
As a freelancer, I always have money in reserve for quite a month anyway. But I think the only concern for me is the fact that you just don't know how long it's going to go on for. But I'd like to...
Steve, have they cut your broadband?
All jobs that were cancelled.
Steve, you dipped out there. Steve, where are you going? You're not walking... You're not going to the pub as well, are you?
No, I... got full signal.
Do you know what the issue is? I think everyone's on their, nothing else to do in the world, so everyone's on their broadbands, and we can't take it. So what did you just say?
All on chat roulette, aren't they?
No, Steve, what did you say then?
This is good.
Insightful.
He's speaking.
That's one of his best comments.
No, he's speaking less than he normally does. At least before, when I normally ask him a question, when I normally ask him a question, at least he responds, you know. But he's gone. Steve, are you still there?
Lost Cardiff.
Cardiff's gone.
Cardiff's gone, everyone. Cardiff's gone.
We've lost Cardiff.
But you know what? I realise what is hard to be spooked by this. It certainly is. Oh, there you are. Wait, what were you doing, Steve?
I don't know. I just jumped to 4G for some reason. My Wi-Fi is right down.
Everyone's on it. That's why. So anyway, sorry, Steve. Say it again. Yeah, exactly. Steve, it's neighbours jumping on your Wi-Fi thing. Right, that's going to be... but, Steve, so, I mean, you've got no work whatsoever. So this is going to go on for, like, what? A couple of months at least, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I can survive because I always have like backup plans that kind of like last a few months with quiet work or no work. But the thing that's annoying for me is the fact that I'm not particularly happy coming out of it at the end of it with no money, because that's not really a place I'd like to be, to be honest. So we have backups.
Your overheads will drop, you know, because I don't know. What are people going to do? You can't go to the pub, you can't go do other things.
Yeah.
You're not spending a lot of money, probably. But I know that doesn't help you much.
But we are in, like I said, this is as close as we'll come to a world war, our generation. What I'm saying is it's not as hard as a world war. Of course, people died there and they struggled a lot more than us. But what I'm saying is, you know, everything's shutting down like it would do in a world war. And so it's the nearest we'll come to that. So kind of effect, everything's eerie and the streets are quiet and the stock market's just fallen off a cliff. Like I said, it's one of the fastest sell-offs since, do you see the other day, the Dow sold off, you know, faster than it did in 1987 was the last time it sold off so fast. Because I listen to CNBC, it's amazing, right, how you can get two experts or two investors, you know, who've both made lots of money in the market. One was this Ray Dalio guy, Bonds. He was saying it's the end of the world, depression's coming. And depression, I don't know if you know what that is. Like, a recession is two quarters of contraction of GDP. A recession is multi-years contractions of GDP. That's what he reckons. And the other guy I was just listening to then, come on about half an hour later, said, this is one of the best opportunities in the world. He said, we know what's going to happen. The government are going to pump money in. Yes, the economy's going to stop for 3 months. Everyone's, you know, everything's sold off. So those big quality companies you couldn't afford to buy, you can now buy at a cheap rate. You know, he said, the GEs, the Disneys, all these kind of people he's talking about, you can't buy those normally. They're expensive. Now you can buy them. Of course, they'll take a hit. And you'll have a lag where their earnings will come out about a couple of months' time, and they'll show that hit, but then they'll get over it. He said, do you honestly believe that Disney's going to open their gates so they're parked and no one's going to walk in? Of course they're not. No. You know, so... You know, you get this, but that's it. Pad, you can go online. You see that Italy article about Italy. Italy, again. What is going on in Italy? Have you seen again today? They're, let me just look at the figures. I just posted it out here. Italy, right? Their daily deaths up by 47%. 627 people died yesterday in Italy, and now they're up to 4,032. That's more than China. I don't understand what's going on there. I mean, that we are using that as the hell yardstick of hell, aren't we? Saying if that comes over to the UK, that's going to be awful, because it's not, you know, it's not the deaths. Like everyone says it's about flu. Yes, we can manage that though, because it's small. It's the curve is flat. Like the coronavirus, like I said, we cannot handle. Already, we're at breaking point ICU. And do you know what I realised? What's really scary is this. When I looked at this documentary yesterday on Italy. 13 doctors have died already in Italy from the coronavirus, treating, you know, patients. And you realise, as the numbers are coming up, you know, into ICU, doctors are dying, and so the resources are going down. So you've got that awful dynamic, you know, a nightmare dynamic where you've got less people to deal with a growing number of people. And that's the worrying thing, you know. So you can see why this market falls off. But do you know what? In every situation like this, like I said, we've had 22 bear markets pretty much in the last, since 1928. And most of them, the biggest ones, People have been saying that's the end of capitalism, that's the end of the world as we know it. Everything is going to change, you know? And it never has. It's always gone back up. So you can hold really extreme views, but that's why the market goes down, you know? But how do you price in this? How do you say, you know, or how do you work out how much is going to be lost from the market?
Yeah, good question. And the answer is?
No idea. Well, I mean, we've fallen by 33%. Are we going to lose 33% of the value, revenue, and all that stuff from you know the next 3 months? I don't know.
Well, the thing that struck me was, I mean, we were talking over the last couple of weeks where start topping up your funds a bit because it's been dropping, and then dropped a bit more, and then ultimately, I think I saw your tweet the other day. It's like you shut down your portfolio because it's like. You're trying to guess a bottom, aren't you? And who knows where it's going to go? And then this week, we're talking on Friday, there was a kind of a bear rally, isn't it? It's a rally.
Yeah.
A big rally on Friday. And I'm just always amazed by those because, like, where's that suddenly come from? Why is that? What?
Because it's been sold so hard. But do you know what? Isn't it amazing how fast.
Such a knee-jerk reaction. Yeah.
But isn't it amazing how fast sentiment changes? Honestly, the day before that, I was really bearish because I kept topping up. I was like, hang on, there's no bottom here. It keeps dropping. There's no bounce. There's no bottom. Where's the bottom? Honestly, it felt like it was going to keep going down to zero. And in the end, I thought, right, I just know what? My priority now is to conserve any capital I have, any spare cash I have. I'm going to conserve it until we have some kind of bounce. And then we bounced on, like, it's a Friday. I'm looking at my stocks here, right? Expediator up 34%, Tristel up 25%, MPAC up 19%, Franchise Brands up 11%, On the Beach, which is a highly risky play, I'm going to play that though, up 10%. I had 7 stocks at one point in double digits, and I said I posted that, that would sound quite impressive if they hadn't gone down by double digits for an entire month pretty much. So I've got all the stocks, I've got 20 stocks, one gone down, 17 I think gone up, and 3 non-movers, and it's been but this is a bear market rally, and sentiment changes on that. People start diving in. Don't chase that, because I did tweet out a bear dancing saying, yes, every now and again I like to convince you you're out of the woods, but you're not. I will get you. And this is a bear market rally. We're in a recession, you know. I don't know if you saw Bank of America say, right, they said the good news is, basically, with Bank of America, they said Q3 should be a recovery if stimulus is aggressive, and it is. The bad news is Q2 will contract from Q1 by, is it 12 or 24%, something we've not seen since World War II. That's how aggressive it is.
Cool.
And so that's how bad it down to. So, I've got a plan, though, lads. I've got a plan. I think you'll like this.
Okay.
Have you any of you come up with a plan at all?
Just crying, mainly.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that, Pat, yeah.
Because Steve said he didn't want to look at his portfolio. I get the same, right? I'm like 40% invested, 60% in cash, right? But even when I look at my portfolio, it's still not nice to look at because I've got 40% in there, you know, and literally it's taking a hammer in. But what annoys me, I said to you, guys, we'll have a bear market rally, and it's happened today, but these things can go on for days, almost weeks, you know. You can have a bounce by 5, 10%, and if you look back, it's happened several times where people are convinced, that's it, it was a V-shaped recovery, and all of a sudden we've gone down and broken that lower low, we've broken that previous low level and gone further down. So you should never actually, you know, scale in these bear market rallies. But here's my plan, right? I'm going to play this.
Trading.
Yeah, well, let's think about the time frame, right? Let's think of the worst case and best case scenario. So what I said to you guys was try your best. Take advantage of the bear market rally. If it rallies by 2, 3, 4 days, the rubbish stocks you're in, just get out and get some cash on board because we're probably going lower. And you said, I don't want to, I'm so under the water. Paddy and, you know, Steve said, I'm so under water, I don't want to sell them for a loss. And I said, I know, but do you know what you need to do is get out and get in some quality at the bottom, and these are companies that will be sold, because it's been indiscriminate. Like, do you know what?
Yeah.
Tristel, for example, right? Tristel benefits from this. They do, basically... Let me just pull up my article here on it. But they do exactly what you want to do. Have you watched the series called Explained on Netflix? Have you ever watched that?
No.
there's one recommended watching for you. And it's half an hour shows, and they just talk about everything. Every little episode is a different thing. They talk about everything from art to diamonds, why diamonds are so expensive and all that stuff. Now lab diamonds are coming around. And one of them, really well timed, was about pandemics, the next pandemic. And it was about Bill Gates talking about, you know, said sooner or later we're going to have a pandemic. They said, and it'll, you know, we don't know how bad it's going to be, but it's a pandemic, so it'll spread through the world. And it's very scary, and I didn't realise. He said, and the thing is, we're having more of these. More will happen. They'll occur more often, these viruses. And he said, people worry about climate change, which you should be. He said, you know, people worry about world wars, which you should be. He said, pandemics, viruses will kill humans probably before climate change or world wars. He said, if you look at the stats, there was something like 180 million people died. The 20th century, apparently, was the most murderous century of all. He said about 187 million people died. 15 million people a year die of viruses. So literally, within 12 years, viruses will kill more than has been killed in an entire century, in the 20th century, the most murderous century of all. And he said, and they're getting more out of control. So this recent one, like I said, the Spanish flu is bad. This recent one now, this obviously, but he said, that's what, now, Tristel, for example, they do infection prevention, they specialise in that, human and animal healthcare and contamination control in industry. So their biggest client is NHS. They were busy before this anyway. They were expanding by, you know, 20%, annual compound annual growth, profit-wise, last 5 years, 20% compound annual growth, profit-wise. They got cash, of course, they're generating cash, they're profitable, they pay a dividend. But they've sold off. I bought some, they just sold off, like mad. I was underwater on them. I thought, what's going on here? And even gold sold off, even silver sells off. And that happens, apparently. It happened during the financial crisis. When there's a bad crisis happening, there's what's called a dash for cash. People are so scared, they sell everything. It doesn't matter if it makes sense, you know, if it's a safe haven or not. They just want to get cash because they're so scared. And so that's what happened with gold. That's what happened with, but that's why it rallied quite big today. Now, they're earning good money. And this will raise awareness. Their last release was before COVID started taking grip. And yet they were starting to see the first effects of that. And, you know, the CEO, Paul Sweeney, said, we are currently experiencing COVID-19, these financial results up until December the 31st, but obviously the CEO statement is written a couple of months after that. But he said, we're currently experiencing COVID-19. This viral outbreak, together with the ever-present threat of antimicrobial resistance, will be powerful influence on global healthcare systems for greater investment in infection prevention and control. So basically, people will up their investment because of this pandemic, you know, so they're really in the theme of things, and yet this is before, but it's sold off. And I thought, what's going on? This is, and I emailed them yesterday. And I said, are you? I said a lot of companies are releasing COVID-19 updates. Will you be doing the same? Because you sold off, and I assume your products, you know, are wanted by more than ever now. And they replied to me, and basically they sent a letter back to me saying, oh, we've sent this to our clients and customers saying we are running our production lines at full capacity, and we have instructed our critical third-party contractors to do the same. So these guys do this, it's this IP, special chemicals used in NHS and all that, and literally, you can imagine now, at the moment and future, they're going to be a good business, but yet everything just sold off. But anyway, yeah, so it's
nuts. So going back to your idea of like getting out of stock, so if we see a bit of a rally and you could at least salvage a bit of cash, you're saying like if you're 50% down in a stock, sell it, and ultimately you'll be putting it into a stock where hopefully it bags, i.e. doubles, and so you're getting your money back, and or it trebles or quadruples in value, and you're more than getting your money back in the long term.
Yeah.
Rather than sitting and holding that rubbish stock, which will perhaps never recover to even break even.
Well, generally, right, those any volatile stock you have, if you hold a volatile stock, right, it's volatile on the way down, it's volatile on the way up, you know, so it'll bounce back. So you see a lot of the rubbish stocks will bounce very aggressively when the market turns. But again, I'm genuinely now, I want to go toward, like I've mentioned quite a few times on the podcast, I'm heading towards not having virtually hardly any loss-making companies in my portfolio. Most of the companies I want to hold are generating not only profit, but growing that profit and growing, their several metrics are growing, you know? And like, there are business sectors you can be in right now that would be good for you, because we're going into a recession, you know, and there's things like consumer staples. These are like supermarkets, defensive plays capable of withstanding. Consumers are unwilling to, you know, things that you will always buy, regardless of what the economic downturn happens, you know. You've got utilities. Go on.
I was going to say, because the thing about selling, like you said, when you get a bear market and it kind of rallies up, and then sell those stocks and put them in somewhere else. But how do you know the stock you're putting it into hasn't already rallied and that's had its day as well? You know, it's so you could cash out of that one, put it into that one, and then that could fall down.
It's, back it's anyway. Called research, Steve.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. Right.
It goes beyond the ticker. But you know, Steve, what I'm saying is, I don't think you've got this. So listen, I've changed my investment strategy completely over the last 2 years, right? To the point where I started going into more, you know, sort of quality, you know, profit-driven companies, and now they're all about that. And they said the best-performing companies anywhere in the world over the last, you know, however long the stock market's been around, have been companies. I mean, I talk about sustainable growth 5-10 years. I'm not talking about pop and drops, resource stocks, who you know, release a bit of news that's good for them. I'm talking about companies that sustain. I'm talking about the JD Sports, who've 10 bagged in the last 5 years. Boohoo, 10 bagged in the last 5 years. They're now going cheap. Why not jump on them? I was told, in fact, on the podcast a while back, Alan Green talked about JD Sports. I said, Alan, we've missed that, fella. We missed that run 5 years ago. They're now down to their price right now. It's like 3 years ago anyway now. It's gone back to 3 years ago. So they are 2017 prices. And do you know what? Will Boohoo, will JD Sports, in fact, will Rightmove, these companies, right, they were very good. These are, you know, stock market darlings.
Yeah.
Will they fail now or will they carry on, you know?
Like Fevertree, the toilet
seat. Things like that. I mean, you've got the chance now, Steve, to get into these, you know, the stars of the stock market. At a price that you could have got 3 years ago, and you know full
those,
well.
Those are still a gamble, though, aren't they? You know, we don't know where we're going to be in 2-3 months' time. No. Those companies.
Steve, are you in the toilet? Steve, are you in the toilet, Steve? Steve, going for a comfort break when Paddy's.
No, I was washing my hands.
Good boy, Steve. Well done, Steve. You're washing your hands with urine.
That's so good. Carry on.
No, go on. Sorry, Pad. Yes, yeah. Go on.
I'm just saying. I get the strategy, but I think still there are lots of companies, which even big companies, that could really suffer if this carries on for longer than we're expecting at the moment. Everyone's thinking that this will be over in 12 weeks' time, but what's to say it won't be? There's talk that this could go on for the rest of the year in some form or another. So you want to really be looking for companies which, I don't know, are less reliant on footfall for me.
Yeah, well, do you know what? I've got a little I'll send this around, actually, but I've got a sort of Word document in front of me, and it's got 11 sectors on there, right? Going from green, which is good, to blue, to yellow, to orange, to red. And so at the top there's consumer staples, like I said, things people won't do without, like you talk about, you know, toilet rolls and all that sort of stuff, that kind of stuff people want to buy all the time. Utilities also green, electric, gas, water, exactly, you know, you'll pay for that whatever happens. Telecoms next in blue. Telecoms, there's a lot of companies we don't understand, right? For example, a lot of banks and mortgage or telecoms, that won't largely be affected. It will if it's a long downturn and people can't afford to pay them, but you pay that via basically recurring revenue via direct debit. That is perfect for, you know, that's not going to get affected, is it? You know, your BA sort of, or Sky or whatever, broadband, you don't want to cut that out, you know, so things like that.
Vodafone maybe, you might value that even more.
Yeah, Vodafone, exactly, and all that stuff. But utilities, electric, gas and water, you pay that by direct debit, it's recurring revenue, you know. But also consumer staples, those four companies there. Then you get technology, a bit risky at the moment, but if it's growing, it's fine. Then aerospace and defence. Down the bottom there, getting towards the red area, financials, banks, investment funds. The interest rate's gone down. The majority of the revenue is generated by the sector that comes from mortgages, loans, all that stuff. There'd be more defaults, all that stuff. Real estate, again, now a bit risky. Because people, you know, haven't got the money to invest in real estate or won't be buying sort of things. Then you've got materials and mining, refining, consumer discretionary. Like, you know, these are more luxury items, benefits from an improving economy. Then at the bottom there, you've got energy. These companies generate revenue from, you know, price of oil, gas. Now, if you are consuming less, there's less people going to work, and less people taking trips and all that. So yeah, it's all cyclical. But do you know what? This is my plan, boys. And I was so annoyed, right? Because I've said to you, try and get some cash on board, and you haven't got any cash on board, right? And I said I'm peed off with Paddy and Steve. Not having Steve showed me his portfolio. He's still holding stocks I recommended when we started doing the podcast.
Well, they still haven't made money yet.
Steve's like accumulating the entire market. He's like he is a one man tracker.
But he's a tracker fund, yeah. Steve Tracker.
But his tracker should be called actually the crap small cap index. The low quality small cap index. That's what Stevie should say. No, Stevie's low quality micro cap crap index. Because that's what it is at the moment. And so I don't know what's going to happen now. If we rally for a couple of days, Britain's financial package here was cracking. Fair play. Rishi came out, and he's basically going to pay everyone. I mean, everyone's wages, and that's what you need to do. That's what I'm worried about. I'm really worried about people working who are not going to get paid. You know, it's no fault of their own. This is a virus. It's like...
I haven't said anything about freelancers or self-employed yet, which is a big worry for those of us in those situations. But
that'll be
at least part of the way. You hope so, because there's still millions of people who... pulling their hair out, not knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah. And do you know what? And this anxiety is feeding through everywhere, and it's really worrying. And I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we went to, I said last Sunday, we thought, well, it's probably the last meal we'll have out, because we knew we were going to go into isolation a week before the schools closed. And we met up with some parents from school who we also saw on holidays in Mexico, just by coincidence, at the same hotel as us in Mexico. And so we met up with them. And we said this, and this lovely pub, and literally, they had about 20 tables in there, and at any one time, there's probably two or three tables that were taken up. And I thought, this is awful. This can't last. And now that we put a hard stop on business, everything's shut down. But you have to do it. It's like, nothing else. You know, you couldn't name anything else that would have such a cataclysmic effect on world, on the globe, like not even terrorists or world wars, anything. Nothing's reached this far into every part of society. You know, it's nuts. No. It's just crazy.
But also, because of that, it does have, you know, well, for me, it got a little seed of doubt that actually, yes, it's unprecedented. And so, therefore, the reaction might be unprecedented, i.e., yes, other stock market crashes, it always bounces back up, it's all going to be fine. This one, you're starting to go, is it actually this time? Because this is so unprecedented. I think it will, ultimately, because this virus will be conquered by mankind. But then what's the next virus? What's the next? How prepared are we? And how is life going to change after all this? I don't know. So it's it is a little bit concerning, isn't it, in terms of the longer term view?
Yeah. But it's that doubt that makes the market sell off. That's the interesting thing about stock markets. You think you can always entertain the fact that this is the end of the world as we know it. That's why
I wouldn't go that far.
No, but do you know what I mean? As we know it, I mean, I don't mean in the world, I mean as we know it. And that's why the stock market sells off so aggressively. But then we'll be literally about a year down the line now, and we'll say, probably less than that actually, probably 6 months, and we'll say, do you know what? And that humans are... You know, they're so innovative, and they find ways. And like I said, at the moment, there are so many companies working on a prevention of vaccine, any of this already, and I think we'll find something. And do you know what? I mean, if you look at MERS and SARS, I know they weren't as virulent as this. MERS and SARS haven't even got a vaccine yet, because apparently SARS just sort of petered out. And this, for example, there is evidence that you do build up immunity afterwards. Because in Singapore right now, it's like life is back to normal. I don't know if you saw a BBC report in Singapore now. Everyone's out and about. It's fine. It's like they went through a period of that, and it's going that way in South Korea. So we know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But it's almost when you're in the tunnel, you can't see that light. It's doom and gloom. You know, everyone just sells, and that's it. Yeah. And so that's why. Sometimes this gloom, it's like, you know, the opposite is, this is an opportunity here. So anyway, guys, what I'm going to say is this. This is my plan, right? At the moment, I've got 10 stocks, and I've got a nice chunk of money. I'm going to invest in those 10 stocks, but I'm going to give you boys... Pete, how much cash do you have? Percentage-wise, do you have any cash at all?
Yeah, yeah. So not in actual pounds. £3.5 million. No. I am about 35% cash.
Are you?
Yeah, 40% maybe? 35%, yeah. 30%.
Okay,
yeah.
Paddy, you have no cash, do you? And Steve, have any cash?
No, zero cash.
Okay, okay, okay. So what I'm going to do is, I've got 10 stocks, right? I'm going to put them, I may do a video on the weekend. I'll put them below here. No, I'm still whittling them down. I mean, I've got small caps. They're all profit generating. Most of them pay dividends. You know, in there, it's like JD Sports, Greggs. Also, like I said, the company I just mentioned, Impact, is also Tristel. There's a couple of other companies in there. What I'm going to do is I'll give you an option to buy shares. So you haven't any cash at the moment, right? And you should have been taking advantage of this dip, because I believe it's a temporary dip. I think, well, this will be an excellent opportunity to earn money. This is the best time. Like I said, the reason why it was hard to earn money, Paddy, you've really joined investing in the last 2 years. It's been really hard. We've had Brexit, right? We've had the top of the market in America, pretty much. So it's always been very volatile, but it's the froth at the top of the beer. That's what we've been experiencing. And we realised we were at the top of the beer, and basically it's time to drink it all, and it's gone down now, you know. So it's now we're getting to the point where next couple of months will be opportunity, and we'll build back up. Like I said, most bear markets last about a year, and they have a drawdown of 36% or average. So if this is most or average, it'll be around that level. So I'm going to give you
just in time for Brexit.
Yeah. I know people are do you know what? Really anti-Brexiteers are using this as an excuse, and they're right. Maybe we should call off Brexit then. Because obviously, Michel Barnier has also got coronavirus.
Clinging to that.
I know.
I was saying the other day, though, that all of this makes things like Brexit look like a kid's party, really, doesn't it?
China US trade war plus Brexit, and that's nothing compared to the coronavirus, is it? Just a small virus you can't even see. It's really, you know, is really taking every economy down. It's phenomenal. I know, it's unbelievable. But
just going back on your percentage of cash in your portfolio, but yes, I've got about 40%. But it was that same amount was about 25%, three weeks ago, or whatever. It's now worth 40% because my portfolio has come down so much.
Yeah, yeah, that happens.
Percentage value is one thing, but yeah, it sounds impressive. Oh, 40%. Yeah, it's not like a put for, you know.
Okay. Listen, I offer 3 options, right? In I'm going to produce a list of companies, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know how to play it. I said maybe people listening could suggest, but. I'll give you a grand worth of options, each of you, right?
Okay.
So that means you can have it's risk-free, you don't need any cash right now. Right. So we're going to buy in at a grand, and you can exercise those options whenever you want, and essentially you don't have to... It's a risk-free bet for you. Do you understand how it works, Pete and Steve?
I do, yes. You put it in, and then we take it out once it's made us money, or we opt not to take it out.
Well, you get the profit on the grand, yes. So so basically, you've got a grand of stock in there. It's not yours until you sell. Once you sell, that profit from that grand is yours. So if you do 100%, then you get a grand.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering whether to add a bit of jeopardy. Let's say I pay five. Let's say I pick five stocks.
Not more jeopardy.
I pick five stocks that I think are quite good to go, you know. But you have to pick one stock each. I would like you to pick one stock each differently.
Yeah.
And then whatever you pick, you know, that's who you have to stick with. Because it adds a bit of excitement to it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The game.
Absolutely. And we get to choose when we exit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. That's fine.
So if you want to go for 20%, you know, because of 20%, what's that?
My point being there is because it's your capital that's going into it. So if you're like 50% down, you're like, I want to sell and get at least my 500 quid back. We're like, no, hold on. I reckon this will rally.
We're
going to
wait until this is worth nothing.
Actually, sell it now, Justin.
But you can only exercise your options when it's in the money. That's the point, you know?
Okay.
So you can't just say, you can't just say straight away, I'll take my grand. You can't just say straight away. Because you exercise when it's in there. So, for example, if you put £1,000 in, which I am putting £1,000 in, right? And it goes up by like 20%, you know? So that's, 200 quid. You can say, I want to exercise my option now. I want to sell as well. Right. So you can actually open it out. So it's up to you. So, or, yeah, let's keep it going, keep it going. Or you can wait for, like, because we are in a downturn. No, we should see this now. I'm seriously looking, you know, on some of these stocks at least 100%, you know, at least over the next 5 years after this is over. You know, if you look at the last bull run, you know, you're doing, like I said, in the last 5 years, I mean, they're bigger companies now, but JD and Boohoo did 10 bags, you know? So that could go into 10 grand by now. You know, so you, if you 10 bagged and you exercise your option there, you could take 9 grand out of it.
Yeah. But like on
sounds
Friday,
like a plan.
Friday, Xeros, XG, that rallied and bagged by lunchtime, I saw.
Yeah, but surely that is not sustainable. I did say,
my point is, well, that's ridiculous. And I'm always intrigued by all these kind of rallies when they've happened before, when you've seen stocks do a massive rebound. And today there's a lot of stocks that rallied, but I'm just always intrigued and slightly suspicious of how that actually happens.
Yeah, I know there's no shorts on that, but sometimes when you get big investors in the market, and I suppose there's a trickle down that are shorting the market generally, shorting big stocks and all that stuff, and you know, it's a lot of covering has to go on, all that stuff. And then I saw one of the big what's his name, I can't think of it, American guy. He took all his shorts off yesterday because he just said, I've made enough money now, I'd have shortened the market, and he took them all off. So obviously you have to buy them back up. So when you get short covering, you get someone, not the downward pressure not only comes off, you have to buy that stock back up, you know, cover that short. So you have doubles. So we've had sort of so many down days, pressure down, and they've released some good news. Xeros, I like the tech, and I will get back into it if they start turning a profit, because the tech is amazing, and it's like, you know, it's water saving, it's anti-plastic, it's right in the right space, you know, absolutely. But they still need to raise money. They're burning money like crazy, and their last placing was a killer. It was like 80% discount. So I will not go anywhere near it now until they start generating, you know, cash, because if they're losing cash, they're going to have to raise money. So, but I like the company. You know, it's on my watch list. It's 8 million market cap, but let's see. It bagged, people sold. That's it. Those kind of stocks, if it bags, it sells straight away and get out. And that's why it was like from 160% up to now 67% up, because most traders have got in and got out, you know, so they've got their 10-20% worth. But you don't need to do that with you know, sustainable companies that are generating cash, increasing amounts of cash or profit every year. You don't need to do that, because they'll always be in the net next year. You're not going to have someone. This is the only time where someone like Boohoo or JD or someone like that, or Greggs, for example, where their profits will fall off a cliff just for a quarter or two quarters. It'll never happen again, because they're always consistent, you know?
Yeah. I agree, it's time to start looking at ones that have been oversold. But like you say, we're not out of the woods yet, and it could go further down, couldn't it?
But yeah, so what I'm gonna do is this: 5 stocks, right? I'm gonna start scaling in over 5 weeks, and I think the worst will be over. I think the market will start rallying after 5 weeks, in fact probably before that, because we'll start to come out the other end, the figures will start going down. Hopefully we're not in Italy, we'll see. If I get into, say, two weeks of scaling in and it's not improving, or there's something going wrong, then I'll hold back. But I think 5 weeks I'll scale in on these 5 companies. So I've got 5 stocks, scaling. You can pick one of the stocks, and then after that, hopefully, we'll go into upturn. We'll bounce along the bottom for a while, but, you know, hopefully, we'll start things. So I think, I don't know, do you think it's too early yet? If I'm scaling over 5 weeks, what do you think, it's too early?
Yeah, it feels everything's a bit too early at the moment. I just think we're
surely there's no answer to that, really.
No, exactly, it's not, is there? No. If we go into depression, it's way too early. If it's just a recession, then it's still a little too early. But if it's a V-shaped recovery, but I got a scale. Well, let's try. I'm trying to think of it. And my portfolio is on lockdown, but I'm going to try and think of, you know, over what period of time I need to scale in into, because you want to get a good average, a low average, you know. But let's just see if it sells off. American markets are selling off on Friday. Let's see where we go next week. And by the end of next week, I may start scaling in. End of next week, who knows? But it's going to be over a 5-week period, I think, 5-6-week period of scaling, and then hopefully a good price. And then
how much loo roll have you still got, Justin?
We're down to like 200 rolls now.
Wow, 200?
No, we haven't got that much.
Time's tough.
We don't have that much toilet roll. I mean, literally, Megan wasn't even worried about toilet rolls. And I said, get some toilet rolls. I've always been obsessed with toilet rolls. I always say, every time I go shopping, I buy toilet rolls anyway. Regardless of the coronavirus, I always buy it. I'm never going to stop doing that, number two. It's not like a hobby that I enjoy now. I'm going to stop for next week.
I'm going to give it up one day.
Yeah, I'd fill the attic. I'd fill the attic with them. It's good insulation. Oh. What's the problem?
Disgusting.
No, the toilet rolls.
Just use the toilet roll.
No, not poo. Oh, right. Yeah. But like, it's one of those things you can always buy. That's like, if you go to the back of the top of that, that's a consumer staple. Toilet rolls. You're always going to buy it. Same with shavers, for men or soap. You're always going to buy it, aren't you? Just buy loads of it. Doesn't matter. Every time you go shopping, buy loads of it. Doesn't matter. But not now, because otherwise...
I think that's the direct opposite message that we're supposed to be saying.
Yeah, no, if you do it now, people are saying you're a piece of scum. You are taken from the health workers. Yeah. I do this all the time. I always buy loads of toilet roll. What's the problem?
Yeah, now you stop doing it. How much toilet roll do we actually need? How many tins of beans do we actually need?
Yeah, but, well, no, exactly. The difference between me and you, Pat, is we've got four bum holes in this house. You've got one bum hole. It's all about numbers. You know what I'm saying?
But you probably go through a roll of toilet roll every week, 10 days. I don't know.
Every
just
time.
Backwards from that.
Every time I sit down, I
every
go through
time.
That. Yeah, yeah. I like to be really clean.
Now's the time to use less.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, guys, stay safe. Don't socialise. Stay indoors. And literally, if you see anyone walking around, just film it, put it on the internet, and shame them. Yeah.
You're allowed to walk around. That's allowed.
Oh, you're allowed to do that. Okay. Yeah.
You're allowed to do that. At the moment.
What's something you just drink in the street? Just take your deck chair out in the street with your tinnies, sit down, have a few drinks.
Yeah, as long as it's not within 2 meters.
Yeah, I think it'll make us more sociable.
What my neighbours do every day anyway.
Exactly. You can join them now. Everyone sits outside their houses. You are more than a metre away from each other. Just raise a tinny to each other. I think it'll make us more sociable, I think, generally.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it a go.
We're not supposed to be sociable right now. That's the exact point. We're not supposed to be sociable.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm going to sit outside and have a drink. Right, boys, have a nice weekend.
Take it well.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.